I can look at something in Baptist history, and I thought it was interesting the way it worked out. Dr. Brown was speaking, I believe it was on Wednesday morning, I think it was, and he was, maybe it was Tuesday morning, going through the different martyrs that he had the Bible, the collection in the other building, and just talking about the price that people have paid to preach and to print that printed word that we now have and almost take for granted that we have it. We probably have several Bibles. Every one of us probably has several Bibles at home, and the price though that was paid to have that Bible, and the people that died to protect it and write it and handwrite it out sometimes, and were executed for printing the Bible, and on and on. You know, just it's a great heritage, but a great price was paid. And this morning, I'm going to talk about a man. His name is Edward Whiteman. And what's interesting about him is, as Pastor Brown went through those executions and those burning the stake, so Edward Whiteman is actually the last person to die or to be executed for heresy in England. And he went through all those names, and maybe you can see him now on the screen. But this is the man that would die at the stake, and we'll talk about that. But he's the last one that would ever die at the stake. And so this took place in a place called Lichfield in England. They said that this man was guilty of, and I'm going to read these names, which almost none of us will recognize, but I read them on purpose. But he was guilty for the wicked because he preached the wicked doctrines of Ebion, Cerinthius, Valentinus, Arius, Macedonius, Simon Magus, Mainz, Photinius, and the Anabaptists. Now, and other arch heretics, it goes on to say. This was the writing out of the execution at his trial. And again, I said the man's name was Edward Whiteman, and the date is April 11, 1612. And now these names I just mentioned, these are first and second century heretics. Most of these names are unknown to us. Most of these men, I'm assuming they're men, denied the deity of Christ. One of these men actually called Christ an animal. These were heretics, and he was accused of teaching their doctrine, which is ridiculous, but that's how it was. And as I'll talk about, was he guilty of these charges? Not at all. He was guilty of the last charge, and we'll talk about that in just a minute. But as they put together this forgery of lies, one of the historians says that it's just the fact that the many of these heresies were foolish and inconsistent. Saying this really discredited everything else that the judge said and that the court said. But what was the real cause for the martyrdom? And I think we know that among some of the charges that were brought were that Whiteman did preach this, and this is what he did say he preached, that the baptizing of infants is an abominable custom, that the Lord's Supper and baptism are not to be celebrated as they are now practiced in the Church of England, and this is probably what really got him in trouble, and that Christianity is not wholly professed and preached in the Church of England, but only in part. And for that, they arrested him, drug him in front of the courts, and would eventually pronounce the sentence of death upon him. The reason I mentioned that he's the last one is that the English public was growing weary of these executions. As you can imagine, the courts needed to make these victims more and more hideous to excuse the fact that they were going to burn them at the stake. And so I think the English public was getting tired of that. It's an interesting thing to note, and I may mention this later, that the king on the throne at this time is none other than James the First, who would be responsible for giving us the Bible that we have now, but he was no friend of the truth, and really it's in spite of him that we have the Bible, perhaps I should say. He hated the Baptists, he hated anybody who preached the Word of God, and he did, and he personally signed the death warrant of this man. And so the blood of this man is certainly on the king at this time, and just to mention that. But just to give you a little bit more about him, one of the court documents said, "We command thee that thou cause this said Edward Whiteman being in custody to be committed to the fire in some public and open place below the city aforesaid for the cause aforesaid before the people. He caused really to be burned in the detestation of the said crime and to be the manifest example of other Christians that they may not fall into the same crime. And this no way omits under the peril that shall follow thereon," saying that this doesn't really mean that anybody else is off the hook, but we're going to take care of this guy. As I mentioned, they would drag this man to a churchyard. I think you're seeing the pictures of it, and they would burn him at the stake. Unfortunately, what happened here is kind of just a personal note, but as the flame started to burn him, he cried out. And the executioner thought that meant he wanted to recant. So they doused the flames, they drug him out of the fire. Think how inhumane this is. They drug him out of the fire and took him back to prison, where he would sit in prison with those horrible burns for a month, because he said, "No, I was just crying out in pain. I wasn't trying to recant my faith." And so they went through the process again, and finally they sent word to King James, and he said, "No, fry him anyway," I think was almost his exact quote. And they drug him back out and burned him again. But if you can imagine that, being burned horribly, taken back to your prison cell for almost a month. And they did that in March of 1612. And then in April, they were dragging him back out and burning him to ashes there. Just a terrible way to die, but also just an unbelievable way to know the price that these men paid for the Bible that we have and for the freedoms that we have. Now, one thing to note, I think it's interesting that some would say we don't know a lot about Whiteman. We know some things, but we don't know a lot about him. But a couple things we do know, and that is in the early days of America in Connecticut, a man named Valentine Whiteman, who would be the great-grandson of Edward Whiteman, began the First Baptist Church in the colony of Connecticut in the American shores. He started that church under the terms of the Toleration Act of 1689, and he was a great Baptist pastor. Valentine and his wife established, the name of the church was the First Baptist Church of Groton. And then when he passed away, the Groton church was pastored by his son, Timothy Whiteman. And when the Lord called Timothy home, the church was pastored by his son, John Gano Whiteman. And so this great man of God would see his great-grandson and great-great-grandson and great-great-grandson pastor churches in the New World in the next 100 years or so. And I think that's a very interesting note to know. And they looked back and wrote about their great-grandfather and what a dear man of God he was. And I will close this out by saying, you know, one historian said this: "It was in the midst of such circumstances as these, poor, fined, banished, burned to the stake, the Baptists had the courage to make public confession of the truths that they held and which they were ready to die. Fearlessly, without equivocation or compromise in the face of danger and death, they penned, they signed, they published, and circulated what they professed and confessed." And this historian goes on to say, "Let heartless and faithless scoffers scoff at it, and such at them. Their privilege to scoff was won by the blood of these men." That's so true. I just think as we stand here this morning and we think about how in America we're losing our freedoms. We're beginning to lose the freedoms to preach. It's happening all around us and really has been accelerated in the last year or two by the crowd that hates God. It's not a political movement. It's an anti-God movement. And we should face it as such, also realizing that this will be the next big battle. It's probably going to happen in our lifetime. But as I think of that, I just wrote myself a note. It doesn't seem a waste to let these freedoms die on our watch. And think about that. That's really something we need to think about and push back and fight back for what is beginning to happen to us. And so I leave that with you today. Edward Whiteman, the last martyr in England in 1612. And I thank the Lord for his life and his ministry. And thank the Lord for the price he had to pay to give us some of the freedoms that we have today.